I'd like to start the meeting and welcome everyone out. This is Harriman City Council and Planning Commission joint work meeting, Thursday, March 29th, 2018. The agenda items are actually going to change according to what we have here. 1.3 is going to be postponed to a later date. The developer is making some changes and doesn't feel like he's prepared for this meeting because of the changes that he's doing. And then 1.2, the developer on that one's going to be a little bit late, so we're going to start with actually 1.4 after we have an approval of the previous minutes in the 1.1 item.
Move to approve?
Yep. Second?
Yep. You got a call for a little? I don't. All in favor?
Aye.
And then from there, we'll jump down to 1.4, it looks like. And that's the discussion of the proposed update to the engineering standards and specifications.
We're trying to keep up. We're almost done.
Staff, we follow the red, we come down here, we do
kind of follow this path, come back up, and then so then the consultant follows us, essentially. So anyway, it's a little bit of a logistical opportunity, we'll call it, but it's been fun. So we, and I think if, see, Monty and Justin are not here, it looks super straightforward, maybe, but not every department has been somewhat unique and interesting, but at least this kind of gives you an idea of the way we've approached the update. So what I want to do now really quick is jump to, let me back up. In the process right now, we are right here. We just barely held our workshop with operations. So our next workshop is going to be with the Parks Department. Then we'll cycle back, and we'll come down to here. And then once we're there, we'll start coming to you with sections. And so I've got some dates, some tentative dates, based on our schedule and the way we're tracking some to you. We will at least be prepared for these dates. I haven't sent this past Jackie or Gordon, but this is when we're ready to at least come to you with these topics. So in May, we'd be ready to come to Planning Commission and City Council in May, essentially. And then in July, with the remaining portion, the reason why there's a big difference there is we started those first two sections last year. So now we're just a little ahead on the first two sections. So I promised a highlight, so I want to go through one item really quick. And we did talk about this in City Council previous, in Planning Commission as well, but there's we're updating the standard to be compliant with a recent ordinance change, which is this item right here, which is in the ordinance. There are some items that we are asking, and so everything in green, let's step away again. Everything in green is essentially the planning process. Once you finish the planning process, you got the Planning Commission approval, you move to engineering. So here is what is now called a preliminary plat application. And as part of that application, they are required to provide these items. Well, many items, to be honest. And these are a few key items. So that includes contours, that includes a good assessment of the existing site. We're now looking at grading and drainage plans, proposed utility plan, erosion control plan. We're asking for the geotechnical investigation, and we also require a traffic impact study. So there's a significant amount of, even though this is a planning process here, there's engineering is looking a little more during this portion of the process. And so what I wanted to highlight there is the difference. So I'm going to step back here just again. So, this is previous to the update. So, this is essentially the process. So, if they come in here with the concept, they work with the planning department, the planning process, get to a certain point, we're ready to go to Planning Commission approval, or at least going to Planning Commission. And then once they're approved to Planning Commission, then the engineering department essentially takes the steering wheel and works with them through the engineering process until you get engineering approval. Now, with this new timeline, we require again. Yes?
I have to put it at the top as a lot of you know. In the previous process, a lot of times that's multiple planning commission meetings. That again just extends that timeline. So
we might
think about.
We might find some, you know, they go to PC here, they go to PC, well, they're not in green, but this doesn't represent maybe multiple approaches to the Planning Commission. Or they might be continued for reasons, you know, requiring additional clarification or whatnot. So what the new ordinance has is as part of the preliminary plat application, again, they're requiring some engineering components, which I showed a few examples for you. And we'll essentially take engineering, even though it says preliminary plat review, this is intended for, you know, planning committee, or excuse me, the planning department is working with the engineering department, they're working with UFA, they're working with the water department on all those items. And then when we get to that point, then we move to the planning commission, which is, you can kind of see it might be a little further down the line, but once they get their approval, they then move to the engineering department and we take it from there, called the final plat review. So some a few differences, obviously. Now we're, this is what we, I call that the planning process. Now it's going to be called, you know, the preliminary plat review, and multiple departments, not just the planning department, will be reviewing at that time. Once you get the planning commission approval, then we move to the final plat review. Engineering takes the will, but you're, again, we're working with multiple departments, obviously.
Yeah, essentially what we're doing, we're trying to convey with this graphic, is that we're introducing more engineering information prior to the planning commission looking at and potentially approving a project. So overall, we think we can still have a similar timeline from start to end that we have right now, maybe even quicker, you know, especially for those development teams who are experienced and they understand the standards and they know how to get through the process. But we're bringing more information earlier into the process with the objective of having a better product. What we were finding, what I've been told, is that after we've been through planning commission and we're really starting to study the engineering issues, we're finding that we didn't anticipate some issues. And now we're trying to find a solution that respects the planning commission's decision, but still is good engineering and meets the standards of the city. So we've got to bring that earlier in the process. So I think it's going to be a win-win, I think, for everybody.
So when a concept would come in, the concepts are on paper, right? We do our best in the engineering department to capture fatal flaws or items that are super important for the planning commission to be aware of that we have worked through and mitigated. And we're somewhat limited in that ability in not having those engineering items at that point. Now when we, obviously, as Michael pointed out, we're adding a little more of that up front, but a better ability to provide that information to planning commission and mitigate those prior to approaching planning commission. So anyway, that's as far as my discussion goes, but I'm obviously opening this up for
back to that previous slide. One other thing that we've been doing kind of informally is this pre-application meeting. Basically, what we're trying to do is make staff available for individuals who are anticipating submitting an application, but want to understand what are the requirements of the city, what are the landmines to watch out for, what do they need to do in order to be successful. So we're going to be meeting with individuals, but that's an optional step. Some cities actually make that a required step. They make you go to a pre-application conference. We're just, for right now, reflecting how our current ordinance is written. We thought we would try it just as an optional. I think we're even going to reserve time in our weekly calendars so that we can pre-schedule people to fill that pre-application conference. But it will be an optional step. We suspect that once individuals understand that that's available to them as a service, they may take advantage of it and move with us. The whole idea there is, you can imagine we're now asking for a lot more engineering up front. We really want to try and guide that process and get a better product, really, is the whole effort there. So we want to make sure we're working with them even before they've submitted an application.
Well, a couple things, too, was the engineering department's been tasked by the council, city council, to bring better quality projects to the city. And so one of the things is better quality engineering to make the plan and the decisions, so ultimately the result in better quality projects at the end of the day. So I feel that this is going to help out our public infrastructure and the quality of what's going in the ground at the end of the day.
We're also going to formalize our internal review, which is going to be a really I think, helpful step in the process that we're not really doing now. We're giving all departments a two-week review time. We're going to gather all those department comments, give those to the applicant well in advance of the planning commission meeting so that they'll know what's expected, and then even to have a conversation. If there's a requirement of the city or something that we flag that maybe there's some debate or they don't understand, we'll have an opportunity to still work with them and see if we can't come up with a solution that's mutually agreeable. So.
And the other key point was, Bryn mentioned it, multiple issues. I think we're going to eliminate the possibility of multiple. We're going to have a lot of them. So there's a really polished product that's coming in.
Yeah. Now we may still, in the larger projects, oftentimes a developer will want to have some type of a conceptual meeting or like a work session only with the planning commission. And I think we definitely will be amenable to that. Again, that's where we're negotiating, coming to a mutual agreement. So in that case, we may still see, two or three meetings, but not necessarily. Our goal is to have a project that is prepared and ready for the commission to make a decision and to really know the impacts of that proposal in one meeting.
Seems smart to me.
Sorry, Brett, Blake, if I could interrupt. I think we're going to take a minute to move to Ida.
Adam, you're going to have to work really hard now when they come to planning commission.
I hope it's this way.
So we're going to pause this.
It'll be a good process.
I think it'll actually speed up. Especially when developers start
to work. We're just stopping everything for you.
I was just going to go get some potato chips over there.
Snoop got a sandwich as well.
Thank you for getting together tonight. But I did leave 106 South Main at 5 to 5. That's a 50-minute commute. Work on that road. Thank you for accommodating.
That's why they say bangaroos.
The way you just grab that water right there. Oh, that's great. Thanks. Well, that's kind. Is that up? Do you have everyone's EFD?
See your picture
pull up. Well, while we're pulling that up, I'll give you a big concept. John's job will be to get all the horizontal improvements in. We want to move as quick as we can towards curb, road, sewer, water, all the dry utilities and get the roads in. If we work through it, obviously, as all of you know in construction right now, every subcontractor is overtasked. Numbers are pushing, lumber. So we're trying to be ready to do is have all of our infrastructure in and some of the foundations plumbing so that if we get a break in this economy or a little breathing room, in fact, I'm literally going to go down and buy an apartment in St. George so that my polygamous framer will come up here in Frankfort. So I flew to St. George last week just so I could recruit a large group of people that will come up and frame. So you were going to extreme measures to get things done these days.
That's
really great guy, the Zitting family down there. But yeah, we're just seeing the subcontractor base so stressed that it's hard to get work done without extending every project, and lumber has kind of gone through the roof. We locked into steel on two of our projects just before Trump put that tariff on, and that saved us $800,000. So it's a dicey construction environment right now, and so this is a project we absolutely will build. So what we're here to do is really get the right to get the vertical utilities going and make sure you agree with the concept and what we're trying to build there. Big picture, 2 weeks ago we had a large, large meeting with Rocky Mountain Power. We are going to be a huge test of a new concept, but this should be 100% electrical, no natural gas. It'll be solar, it'll be about 70% of it. We're using a new German battery called the Sono system that literally feeds the solar in, but it also takes dumped power from Rocky Mountain. So one of our goals is where most of us pay 11 cents per kilowatt, if you take it. Guys up at Nucor pay 3.5 or 4, is that how they buy it. What we want to do is buy power from them when it's in their off-peak, but in a large 600-unit combine, so we can buy power that goes into the batteries at 4 cents. However, if the grid goes down in Harriman, let's say you're in a certain part of the grid, those batteries, they can pull out of it 900 kW of power. So the batteries actually act as a backup grid. We've only got one like this, very small battery system down in Panguitch. So this is kind of a revolutionary thing, is that we're starting to build microgrids. And we would be literally in that project, a battery storage farm that could hold up to 1.2 megawatts of power. Each unit has a 20K battery in it that should run that home for 24 hours. So wouldn't you like to feel that security that in an earthquake or something, we lose power lines, snowstorm strips a station, you literally have your home for 24 hours of power. And if you, we have a thing where you can back off on essentials and probably stretch to 36 to 40. So it's a concept that we think environmentally we want to do. We think that security is a smart way to go. And literally, this project will be a nationwide show project. And so we're spending quite a bit of time negotiating all the regulatory facets of it, you know, how to get the solar on the roof so you don't even see it when you look at it. This, and we'll show you how that was designed. Carports, you won't see it unless you're on the south side, you know, as we put those around. So it's almost invisible, the solar, and yet the project will be 70% function from solar power, 200 parking stalls that are for electric cars, and we'll probably give you gas for 20 cents on the dollar. So that's kind of the metering system, is to drive an electric car, be it Tesla type or other hybrid, you can charge it for 20 cents. So that wouldn't be a bad way to save money for that. We think it'll attract a very, very large group of people from the South Utah County Lehigh market for the tech. I'll give you a quick thing is we're forming a tech league out there that they've done that has four seasons out at the new facility. And all the tech companies are signing up, 16 tech companies have signed up to play four seasons, and they play Quidditch, soccer, baseball, I mean, really weird techie sports, you know, so not normal things, baseball, soccer. So they have these four seasons, and these tech companies compete, so the employees that I talked to, this is an ideal project, kind of high tech, kind of attracts a lot of tech people right here in the Harriman, which translates to offices where they get work in the city, so that's how we see it. So.
I'll let John explain where it sits in that part.
So right here, this is pod 3A. This is the site. There's a barrier boundary right here. This is a different site, and this is the one that we're speaking of right now. Door here, 3A, multifamily stack, currently zoned, roughly 32 acres with 600 units. It's 18.8. Yes. This is the actual site layout. This is our most recent layout. This is Academy Parkway that flows through here and leads over to 150th South down here. We've got 600 units programmed in here. We've got about 40%, if I recall, open space in this, which is a really great open space for this product. As you come in, this is going to be the location of the clubhouse. I'll let Deloy expand because this is going to be quite the clubhouse. It's going to have some really nice amenities. The way it's going to flow through the roads, we've got the alignment, all of our sewer outfalls that we've installed, the Southwest Sewer District to make sewer outfalls. Also, we've got the Academy Parkway on-site retention basin here that we're looking at expanding with our joint neighbor to increase that. The very large, beautiful, tall, flowing water feature that flows down through this and ends up into a pond here with other park amenities as well. That's kind of the site layout, but we'll bounce back to the clubhouse and let Roy elaborate on that just a little bit.
The clubhouse, you've got a lot of grade transition on this site, 60 feet. So each thing we do takes grade out of it. These buildings have tucked under parking, taking 12 foot of grade out. The road took 12 feet out. So right through there to the front of that clubhouse here, that's about the front, on the other side, we've taken almost 24 to 26 foot of grade out of the site. We have to take out another 34 foot of grade by the time we get to the back. Oh, Johnny's point here, but thank you. So at the clubhouse, when you come in at the lower level, you literally, the bottom level, you look in and you'll see a gym, the 6 feet down, so you got a full basketball gym, really beautiful indoor pool. So when you walk into it, it feels like you're at kind of Deer Valley, you know, that kind of thing. Then at the back's a spa where you'll have hair, nails, massage. So the lower area is kind of gym, massage, locker rooms, and you go upstairs. And on the second level, it's really quite high amenitized. Obviously, we've got the leasing offices, but you can drop your dry cleaning off. You'll be able to get food in a quick food store there. We'll have a package delivery. So FedEx, so you can just go in there and register. When you come home, you pull in your packages there. They're not left on your porch. And it's really kind of what the contemporary consumer needs is any quick access to food, small things. I need a place I can leave my laundry or dry cleaning. I need to pick up my packages. And you can just pull into the neighborhood center and leave those there, and they'll be handled. Then you've got a large reception area that can double for weddings, that caterers can come in and set up a 25-person wedding on that level. Beautiful views of the valley, you know, out over that top area. You've got that great north vista. Then you'll also have, from the pool area, an outdoor pool complex that's quite beautiful. And we have a youth recreation area. Theater, 24-seat theater where you can book a kids' party. You can have the games there. Then they've got a video arcade. And you've actually got a place that's kind of a patio outside for outdoor parties. That's, so we want people to be able to come to the community center, schedule a birthday party, schedule an event. Kids can come. We'll have activities. You can ride your bike down to and watch Saturday afternoon movies, things like that. So again, we're trying to create a true active community center. We've spent a long time. We've gone out and looked at one in Colorado. We brought in two major design people with us. We think we'll spend $9 million on the clubhouse. So it's an amazing clubhouse, but that's what kind of sells the 600 units. You've just got a beautiful home. So the whole theory of this is it's quite unique. It's not like a typical apartment I've built in my whole life. This is way different. Even the one we built in Logan, we spent $3 million on. So this is 3x that, three times that. And I think it's a gorgeous project to build up in Logan called Four Seasons. So really is kind of our statement we're making. And literally, we think it'll attract into Harriman kind of a high-tech crowd. So I think that we're working with the Sorensons to buy those 250-acre, 23 and 30-acre parcels and actually build some office in there that you could bring some of the tech companies. So we really are seeing kind of coming with this kind of project, solar, recycling. This will virtually take nothing to the landfill when we're done. Behind the Real Academy there, we have an area where we're actually taking all food waste. We don't have plastic waste, no aluminum that goes. So we're trying to then use that recyclery that we've got down there to take a lot of the recycled stuff and actually process it down there so that it doesn't get to the landfill. So that's really attractive to a lot of the millennials and techies. That it's electric. There's zero carbon pollution that comes out of this project. There's 200 electric stalls. It's kind of unique. So Rocky Mountain Power is obviously very excited to do this because they compete with the gas company. It's just a natural utility. You can't say that out loud. But basically, if you electrify totally, we'll do it. So we're working on some very innovative LED concepts, radiant heat concepts, hyperinsulation, recirculating of existing air, infiltration of air. So we're kind of reaching outside of normal gas or electric furnace, water heater. We'll have recycled water heater, not a regular water heater, where you know it's instant hot water. You're not trying to keep a 40-gallon tank hot all the time. 40% of your hot water cost goes trying to keep hot water hot when you don't need it. So we're looking at every aspect of the thing to say, how can we do everything we do better? So when you look at the project, think of it, we want to look a little different. We don't want to make you think we're like everybody else. So that's part of our design, is we want a very wow. If you don't say wow when you see it, then I missed it. If it's another brick, horizontal, vertical siding, pitched roof, three-color paint, you know,
So that kind of leads to really the whole point of why we want to put this meeting together, because in our
we can kind of pass this down because that doesn't show it near as well as here, and this is still nothing even close to what it really is to me. But I can give you some of the statement for the materials. This is kind of a wood grain ceramic.
So
what we have in our approval, our master development agreement allows us to reallocate our density. So we came in maybe 2 years ago, and we amended our development agreement, and we applied 600 units to Pod 3A, approved for multifamily stacked. And at the time, we had toured with the council a product in Logan called the Four Seasons, and that product is a little bit different. It's very similar as far as the amenities go, but the look of the shell and the exterior is different than what we're going for. We feel that product's a little bit outdated and aged. We're building something on the cutting edge of technology. We want it to reflect that. Plus, we also want it to look like it belongs in this neighborhood. Of the RSL Academy, an $80 million academy, it also is very high-end and tech-looking as well. So because of that, we want to come in and show you the changes that we've made based on that approval. Here you can see we've applied a lot of the same rock feature. This is very similar to the same kind of product we have out at the Four Seasons. A little bit of a different product, but a lot of the same brown tones and earth tones. We've gone to a hardy board.
Might not be a hardy board, though it could be a ceramic. If you've been out to the academy, we use a ceramic siding, you know, that has a wood grain look, but it's a little more contemporary. As opposed to, how much have you seen hardy board plank here in Harriman? Have you seen any?
Never seen any.
Like it's 90% of everything you see. Horizontal, vertical, but it's hardy board. You know, you can do better. And I mean, I'm not being rude. It's been okay, but this should be substantially better. Using metal in the right way. When we were in the council room the other day, we looked out the metal on the library. I mean, there's better materials that we can use in a more aggressive way to create a stronger element. So it's got almost a more commercial look than just a brick, plaster, plank. Any of you tired of that yet? Nobody? Okay, I'm tired. So when you come to this, we're still putting the materials together. Can you hold that door? So I just kind of wanted to talk through. This is a huge element in the little front of those. That wraps around the bottom of the project right on Academy Drive. Seven buildings like this sit that are 24 plexes, so a large building. Four stories, because one story, the basement, only faces the north side. We're taking the grade out on the other, so you walk in the level and you have three on the top. But the ones who go in the basement literally park on the side and they're small one and two bedroom that have a patio out in front of them. So this lower unit right here is kind of a lower patio right onto the grade. Then you gain 10 feet and you come in on the other. And so it's really three story at grade level, street level, and one story that's kind of a condo down here with six units in it. But they really have the benefit of having a yard out back and, you know, you can walk into it. However, these are metal or $22 cladding. We brought in two or three clads to the other side. We haven't picked that, you know, what's the best clad, a dark clad. We've done some zinc. So in a lot of our buildings, I like the zinc cladding that gives you kind of a silvery blue, really a strong feature. Then you can have, this will be plank, could be plaster, rock, but we're putting a metal accent through it, you know, to these features. But then we've got a soft LED lighting that goes up these. That's LED lighting that kind of goes around the rim. So when you're standing 10 miles from here, you can see this light glow on the hillside. But what is that glow that kind of follows these large vertical columns up? And you wanted to think that the Star Wars spaceship is going to land somewhere here in Harriman. But we looked at the city was doing that with the lighting. So it was interesting that a lot of the city architecture we did with Layton recently, or the architecture, is exactly what we're doing here. So I think we're kind of bending towards a distinctive look, something that will stand out. This will not be lost in the myriad of apartments and houses that are here in Harriman. It'll be a distinctive standout feature. And really what we're trying to create is something that you're massively proud of. This will be the highest end housing that I think exists. We built at Springville and Lehigh, we've done that. This will be substantially higher end. So if one, you want kind of an attraction to a higher, maybe tech young couple into Harriman, that's what we're going for. It won't be for everyone. It won't be the cheapest housing by any stretch. But it will be beautiful. It'll use four to five types of materials. And it will be, you know, softly lit, you know, the way I would look at it. And it can be various colors. So it can be white, it can go to yellow, and on a game day it can go to red. red, another state with blue. So it's kind of a big billboard on the hillside. Ooh, we're playing the game today. The billboard turned blue. You know? So it does kind of relate. We want to have an integration with, you know, the real activities down below with the monarchs and what's going on. But you might ask us some hard questions because materials, cities are afraid that it could be corrugated tin. There's no corrugated tin, so that was off the books, okay? No chicken coop look. What other things worry you? To me, it's beautiful, but beauty's in the eye of the beholder, so I'm trying to get what you as a planning commission believe you want in your city.
Can we go back to the big map?
Sure.
Just the one that shows the whole project?
Project, yeah.
So there were a couple questions I had, just like the park and amenity area, what the concept or idea was there.
Yeah.
And then also, with that being said,
you have that pointer.
Because it looks like, I assume that's all parking all the way around.
Parking around here?
Yeah, so I assume it's all the way around, so I don't see any problems.
I think we have too much parking. These are 36 plexes, but they've got parking underneath. So you pull in here, you've got double truck parking under there that's 72 feet wide. So you can pull in, you've got a very ample 30 plus foot turnaround, you park. You have either an elevator structure in it and a stair structure. So these are large 36 plexes.
Yeah.
And again, back here, the concrete of that parking structure is taking it out to take 12 foot grade out.
Sure.
The question here is, I have the same question. It was just the land planner, when he put it in, started counting parking stalls. Yeah, I don't think he counted underneath closely.
Yeah.
Is that right, Johnny?
Yeah.
I think right here we may have some more amenity here, road, you know. But if you're coming to the park, I think some of it was 12, 20 people could pull up to the park. But I think you're right.
Sure.
Too much
park. And curious what that park will become. I don't assume you guys have a finished product of what you want there.
We've got some ideas. So in it, we'll have some probably two small tennis court size kind of soccer where you just pick up soccer and go play paddle ball. We'll have some paddle ball, or what do they call it?
Ball.
So, you know, kind of quick activities. You'll have a lake around it with multiple playground areas, small playground here, probably small playgrounds in here. So this will be kind of a heavy community activity that you can walk through, designed for the community to enter it. Up here will be a large water feature, 30 foot tall at the corner. This is our highest point. Then we drop it down into here through multiple waterfalls, 20, you know, an 18 footer, a 12 footer, a 6 footer, forms a stream that will either go here or here, move along the path, and then it'll come into kind of a lake effect that, you know, that you can build your amenities around that lake, very similar to what you might see at Daybreak, you know, when you're working around the lake. We'll try to incorporate, this will be an outdoor pool, spa gathering area, an indoor pool here, you can see. Various activities, the third level will be the heavy activity level on that. Trying to think, here was park area. We had designed parks, we'll kind of come into here, kind of a pocket park. I think there was...
Does count for garage parking, 276 of the garage.
Probably will be in the bottom of this retention base. There'll be a large athletic field you can walk down into, similar to what we've done in two locations across the street. I like to have those usable, so you have to retain water, but in the meantime, you've got a beautiful landscape on the hillside. Parents can sit there, kids can go play, and have a lot of trees around those retention parks. So retention park, does that answer where the parks are?
Yeah, no, that helps out. I just really wanted to understand because, I mean, you have a large project and it's got a lot of unique features to it.
Open area. We've tried to be denser going up.
One of my fears always when you have large parks like this, you tend to have the parking migrate to areas that shouldn't. Like, for instance, next to the building L, you might have them all parking in that building L parking lot,
right,
which
here.
Is down below, to the left, in the middle, yeah, up one. Because the big parking spots are right there, and then there's another one down below that. I always worry that they migrate to those parking areas when they come to the park, which takes away from the other tenants sometimes.
I'm with you. I think that we've got plenty for that one and here. Park itself will be well parked if people want to come and
yeah.
to just drive to where the amenities are. I think it's too much, actually.
It could be.
By the time we count know. What they need for this building, you know, right here, I got a feeling we're going to be well there. And this could be just posted residents only, you know, parking. I think we could. And then
my other question is always, because solar, if it's done right, it's done wonderfully. And if it's done wrong, it's an eyesore to everyone.
I know they have the new shingle solar, but they're inferior.
And so they don't work as well.
The roof is flat roof with a parapet. So you've got a 4-foot parapet going up, you know, on top of that. So the solar is behind it, behind that parapet. So you've literally got a flat roof that we walk in, and we have a stairway up to the solar. The solar will be mounted about a foot off the roof, meaning the platform that we build. So once snow doesn't sit on it, we can literally go up there on a snow day and squeegee it off. So it's designed to be walkable roofs, so you can get on the roof, walk it. The carports will have squeegees, so we pull them off. Because we need to pull, we can't have snowpack for extended periods. You know, if we have a sunny day but snow's still sitting there, we need to pull the solar back into being. And so we've designed this to be able to capture 80 to 90% of the solar, even if you had a foot of snow fall on it. So we're actually designing platforms on the roof so you can't see. If you're at the very top of this project, you know, kind of in the back, 60 feet up, and you can see a rooftop, but that's pretty high because that's 30 feet up in the air, 34 feet. So even at the top of the project with the parapet, I don't think you can see the solar. So the solar is invisible. When you're on a carport, it'll look just like part of the black roof, because I plan on using black carport roofs. So when you put the solar, we'll literally design it. It's got just a small edge, so it looks like the solar is the roof.
So it matches almost.
Yeah, so literally the solar fits right to the edge, and then you have a gutter, comes right to the crown of the roof. So when you're looking at it, it's not like I tack panels on a shingled roof. Again, I don't like that myself. I think it's a real...
As I've seen in California, a lot of the high schools now have... almost carports that are all solar, that's all they are, but they're not attractive.
No.
And so.
I've been to a couple of colleges, and solar can be tackier, it can be attractive. I think we reasonably did it. We packed a lot in at Real, you know, and they fit the carports, we designed it with it. These would only be on the south face, so if you're looking at the north forward, you won't see solar at all, can't even detect it's there. The south should be uniform enough that it doesn't feel like it's tacked on, you know, with a black panel. So when you look at it and the other carports are black, you're going to feel like it was just really part of the design.
Yeah. And then there's just minor questions, which I know will come later with where the trash is going to be located and how you're going
to
hide it.
Well, I'll show you, go back to that plaque, because we have recycled, so I'll show you where we put literal recycled. You've done this in Logan, when you plan on doing it here. Okay. Each of these have recycleries on the end. So we'll have probably here recyclery. So those aren't just a place you put the bins. We literally put three boxes in there. You have a walk-in gate on the side. So if you use like the ones we've used before, you walk in, you have paper, plastic, aluminum that's here. Then you have one that's cardboard, one that is recyclable. So we put cardboard in one, recyclable. And then on every 24-plex up in Logan, we give them 4 yards for trash. But literally in the unit, under the sink, we have food waste. So we give them a screw on top, sits under the sink, and you scrape your food waste into it. Then you go in your closet, and we have it divided into three things in a bin. So you literally can take the bin out, you take your trash, carry it, and in one is paper, the other is plastic, the other is aluminum. And so what goes in your trash, we really counsel them. We've only got a small 4-yard container, so you need to make sure you do that. We take it out so people do it. They really feel part of the community, carry the bin out, they take their aluminum, put it in here, they take their paper, put it in here, they take that, and then they fill their trash in the 4-yarder. When they move in, we encourage everybody to throw their cardboard in the cardboard wood. It can then be processed, and then we have food or wet waste in another one. But we also have a garden. So there in Logan, we've got 13 garden patches. We gave them a little fun place to sit in that. And the food goes back into three composters. So we always say, dump your food in this composter. So you pull up in front of the garden, you walk back, take your little trash can, dump your food in. And then, literally, we put soil and sand and humus. And once that one's kind of rotting, we go to bin two. And once that one's rotting, we go to bin three. And then literally, the people, we tell them, this is not ready for fertilizer. They literally pull a wheelbarrow out, shovel it, and put it out in the garden. And we've been able to dispose of most of our food waste. Now, at Real, down below, we have one that processes all the paper and the food, grinds up, creates methane. We actually going to fertilize all the beds up here back from the food waste. But no food waste should ever go to the landfill. So we're trying to get that down right. We've actually hired an environmental engineer to come on board with us. He's going to work full-time, Josh Roy. He's been doing that for Intermountain for 3 years. He's kind of a fanatic on not just greenwashing things, but doing it right. So he starts with us on the night. So we're kind of committed, once we're up here, that people talk. I'm not an environmentalist, I'm a conservationist. But I do think we don't have to waste, we don't have to fill up our landfills, we don't have to do that. We don't have to, it's a choice. And we're just making it easy for the consumer to make the choice that you can do this easily. So each one of those will be designed to recycle. It'll hold three bins. We've done this for a number of years, a number of projects. It works well. It's an education. The people are always seeking for a way to do it if you give them the tools. But if you give them rotten tools, they'll throw the aluminum can in the regular waste. But if you give them a tool where to stomp it, the aluminum goes here, and put your newspapers and paper here. Get the junk mail in the mail, just put it in here. And then we sell it locally up there to a guy who makes cellulose insulation. And he pays us. We take all that money, and we have a Christmas fund that they go do Toys for Tots. So this community takes $3,000, they host Toys for Tots, and they take them and recycle them. So, you know, we've been able to educate people and give them a tool to do it. So these are really well planned. You know how these will work. This one I don't know. I haven't focused on that, to be honest, but these all work pretty well. So they're on the same. People won't go that far, we found, but they'll come that distance, go to that, you know, if it's appropriate. You know, and then if not, we tell people that if they're handicapped or that, just register. We have our maintenance guys still there on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And they'll pick it up for you. So if you're disabled or you think it's a little hard, leave it outside the door. Just let us know, and they go peruse that, and they take it all down, and they sort it. So we've had good luck with it. This is not a new concept for us. It's one we've used. Those are good thoughts, so I like your ideas.
Being all electric on your buildings, I assume you're using heat pumps for the each unit?
It's getting so fun, because we may have literally a packed type apartment unit that's special for this. And the interesting part, Germany was light years ahead of us in these products. They've had to do batteries, they've had to do lighter energy use for a long time. America's just coming to it, so you don't find near the products here that you find in Germany. So we looked at a lot of German products. The radiant heat is 30% less costly than forced air electric. It's warmer. But then you have to recycle the air. So we're coming up with some different recycling reads of how you take your air and preheat the air coming in, but it's not tied to the furnace system. So we may not have a forced air system. We may have where you have like one.
Baseboards or radiant floors?
We're looking at kind of radiant wall.
Okay.
Could be radiant floor. And you're going to put a lot on the north end. So your radiance is kind of that living room. And against the south end, we really don't have much heat loss. And every unit has to be designed because those on the outer walls, west walls, would be different than this one, but then those in the middle, when you have a 24-plex, you only have heat loss kind of on that north wall where the glass is. But again, we want those floor-to-ceiling windows where they literally come within 12 inches of the floor. They're 8-foot glass on a 9-foot ceiling. And you don't even need drapes on them because you're just looking to the north. So when you see those big pillars, we don't expect to see drapes on those. We expect to walk into that living room with no glare from the sun because there's no radius of the sun ever comes in that window. But you're sitting up there 60 feet above the floor, and you can see all the way to, you know, the Ute sign. So we want to take advantage of the fact that we're just in the rise of the foothills there. And the beauty of seeing those units tiered three levels, you know, when you see the light here, wouldn't that be pretty to see yellow, red? I'm trying to get the vision
here. But the question I had with that question,
sure,
was so I assume on the air conditioning side, all the condensers, those will be up on the.
No, we probably could have wall condensers, K-packs.
Okay.
So we need so little cooling with the insulation, and that when you look at this, that where normally you put a 2K or a 3K on a three-bedroom, you'll put a 3KW cooling or three-top. As we sized it, and you've got no gain on the north, we have almost a perfect project for no heat gain. Look at that. Look at my late afternoon heat gain on that whole group. You know, if I use a lot of trees there, I kind of use a shell for that. I use awnings where I might have a window that faces west. You see what I'm saying? A hard window. But I don't have any gain here, none here, none here. So I'm not getting direct heat from the sun on this project. I can get some low winter on these ends, so that's beneficial. But my high summer with the right eaves, projections, I'm not going to get much coming in on this.
That's good.
So we're working real carefully on wherever we see the sun come in, we're not going to take direct gain. Then we want to use kind of like a hotel room, a K-Pack,
P-TAC. You know, we're looking at that, but we're also looking at what you guys use in this building, which is the Mitsubishi ceiling units for each apartment unit. We're comparing those right now to see which one's a better unit.
It will cost more. So we don't think we're going to do this cheaper. We know it will cost a little more, but we think the outcomes are so high, you know, with this, that, you know, building the sustainability of it and the radiant warmth of it, you know, all the appliances are embedded, from fridges to that. We may have even some DC systems. So our power panel may be AC and DC. So we can take it off without going through an inverter, save the 13% power loss of inversion power. So we challenge our engineers to be completely unique on every appliance, the lighting. So the LED instead of lamps, you just have some beautiful strips above your end table that are LED that you can dim right by the bed. So when you lay down, you just reach and dim it. So we want to be different. You know, when you walk in it, if you feel the same, we did it wrong. You know, we want you to feel that you've entered kind of a new modern age, and things are not. Here's a Marcy Willie table with a lamp, and, you know, maybe you got an LED bulb, and you're not good about it. You know.
You'll actually see the battery pack in the unit.
Yeah, the battery pack
is in the
unit. It looks like our own. So, and you can read the amount of power that's coming in, the amount of power that's going out. So we want them to be educated about even their power use while they're in it, that they actually control their power, is how we look at it. You know, what you see and gets metered and monitored is there. So we're trying to negotiate with Rocky Mountain. They just give us a head-end meter, sell us bulk power into the project. Then I own a company called Conservice up in Logan that does utility metering. So in Toronto, most people don't know, but we are the largest metering company in Toronto, Canada. And that's what we do. We take the big condos and we do flow meters and we send bills to all of the condo owners. So Rocky Mountain doesn't want to give up that $5.25 fee they get for sending you a bill. Damn. So things like that. I'm just hoping you kind of catch the vision. This is not easy because we don't have a lot of firm answers to some of the questions we're putting out. But after we met with Rocky Mountain, Cindy Crane and her team, they jumped on in every one of our planning meetings. We have a 45-minute planning meeting with the electrical and the solar before we even enter into our building design, and we do this every Thursday. So we've got 6 months to finish the plan. He's got 6 months to finish the on-the-ground improvements, and we want to see if we can pull the trigger on September, October. But I hope as a city, you really look at this, so we want your collaboration. We want something you're massively proud of. When you drive people to Harriman, you're driving right past everything else, and this is what we built here. And it should have that kind of iconic effect that this is totally unique. It's there. It's not cheaper by any stretch. It's just iconic. And I'm old enough that I don't want to do things that aren't iconic. I build enough apartments 100 of my life. This will build an apartment to go make money that's ludicrous to me. I don't even care about that. I do care that when we finish it, it does something different for society. And I think we can set an example here. And as much as people will come here for soccer, I wanted to come here to say this is the most innovative housing project in the United States right now that is, you know, looking at how the future would be. Instead of 600 fossil fuel burning furnaces blow up in the morning, float down the valley, and create haze, I'll have zero. Nothing on this project creates haze, nothing. And I think it's possible. We've all talked about haze, haven't we, for a long time. Let's start. This is a start. And so we challenge ourselves to be a little more expensive, but it's actually solving the problem the way I look at it.
There's one other community in Arizona.
Arizona that's duplicating the virtual power plant and microgrid type of product that we're doing. It's in Mandalay communities, but we're essentially doing something similar to that, but with the parking cost.
Been in Germany for about 8 to 10 years. They're very deep into it. Just seeing the product come over here from Germany, we looked at the Tesla batteries with their cycle life. It's only about 900 cycles. These have a 16,000 cycle. You can cycle a battery 16,000 times. Take these for 30, 40 years. So we need a 30-year product. Is what we've done. Germany's created it, so we're working with them.
What other problems are these type of communities seeing, like in Germany or even?
Germany is actually, yeah. Germany is light years ahead of us. You know, they kind of bought into the environmental thing some time ago in the carbon emissions and that. Actually, the problem I don't have the zero balance passive system. I've seen it a lot up in Seattle, Washington. Architects had it. They relies too much on passive movement of air and windows. It's too complex. We still need energy. So that's why we're putting energy into solar where we can. 30% will still be standard conventional power, but it's made down in Caparibus, and the wind's blowing to California. It's not coming up here. But we didn't think 100% solar was truly sustainable when we really studied it. I thought it was, but it's not. And then when Rocky Mountain has that, where they can feed dump power through the grid. There's always a window when you have a little excess in the system. We'd always be getting that power until our batteries are 85%. Then we won't take it. But we always take it, and then we build that meter. Hopefully, it might negotiate about 4 cents. So we'll see if we get that done.
Great.
So, in essence, we'll be running our own power company out there with Rocky Mountain's help. Because they have the franchise, they can't do it without their agreement that the franchise with the city. They're going to be the one that does it, so we're trying to negotiate a joint thing. It isn't like everything else. It uses their cheapest power, so instead of buying for our residents 11 cent power, we're going to sell them 4 cent power. So we actually think when they move in, they're going to have a lot cheaper electrical, and they won't have the natural gas bill. And, you know, so we think there's a lot of fun things we can do with that.
Well, then I got
a couple questions. Very impressed with the innovation and thought that's gone in to this project. I'm actually still trying to process a lot of it because it is so different. New and different. So I'll go back to some very simple, basic questions. One, just on your building design, what's your estimate right now of brick or stone as far as percentages on your buildings?
About 40%, right? We've been heavy in the stone. We know that's a nature of the thing. So you don't get stuck. Oh, one reason people went to stone is it's too much stuck. If you took kind of an innovative metal cladding, which is unusual in residential, but energetic, if you've seen the use right, it'll give it a little more 22nd century feel. What I'm saying, won't be cheap. So I've seen architects like downtown Salt Lake on 4 South, they put the rusty corrugated metal and, okay, I get it. You're really edgy. But, you know, it kind of wears thin quickly.
Yeah.
You know, you want something that can endure. And I just finished a building in Logan with zinc cladding. They built a huge building on Utah State that I watched for a long time. The business building was zinc cladding. It was just gorgeous. You know, it's soft. It kind of has a blue, silver look. And it kind of intermixes. So I think if you look at the cladding around those major window pieces, then we're debating, so I don't have to use cheap hardwood plank, which does have a limited life. I've done a building long enough that I have to tear that off every 15 to 20 years. Be it aluminum or party plank, it does have a life expectancy. It starts to delaminate. I've had a lot of losses. They've had to do it for me. You can see if I actually do glue right. But I'm looking at some ceramic pieces that look like wood. You can see it over here. You can see some beautiful ceramic work that's a little more contemporary. It's got kind of that panel look, but it's not party plank.
Is that like the LP Smart siding? Is that what you're
referring to? It's not LP. It's really a true ceramic. It's a bit more expensive. You know, we put the siding up on the wall 11 to 14. This would be about an $18 product. Our envelope's going to cost us more. Windows, metal, the rock will be about the same. Plaster and the plank still have it. So there's about 5 materials here. You do have hard plank. We do have stucco. We do have rock. Now we've overlaid that with some clad and some tile. And so I think when you get those mixes, if they're done
section of it had that. Like you go over to the school here, we put that wood look around the school and it just kind of acts it. But we've done that in another place. We've done it at the Globe three or four times. They just stand out. You know, I drive by a standard apartment, 12 plexes, 24 plexes, and you can almost roof, three-story entry, you know, they're not hard to define, are they? When you come here, it ought to give you a little more art feel of the building. If you're, wow, contemplating the building a little deeper, but it's not clashing. You know, and that's what we've got to be careful. We don't like clashing. We do like to intrigue your eye, you know, when you go down the building.
This is a 100% for rent or lease product, correct?
Yeah, we
kind of where's your demographic? What's the rent going to be on it? High end.
We're planning for 15% of the rental population. We're in the top end of the rent. What you've got going here is you've got the NSA around the corner. You've got an evolving Harriman population that is going to the tech world. So we would really like to see out in this area more office. So as you look at that 15 acres and what's going on with Sorensen and, you know, the piece next to that, you know, we engaged NSA at one point. I don't know if you know, I spent quite a bit of time with them to build 200,000 square foot buildings for them. They need it for their contractors. They just need barriers that are nuclear bombs couldn't get through. You know, barriers that if you get there, you're going to blow up 50 feet from your building. So they're pretty careful about security. But there's a lot of subcontractors that need to be near NSA. And you're the prime location. So we're looking at a hotel area, we're looking at an office, we're looking at a kind of retail village, you know, out in that area that kind of feeds it. But I think the tech is just around the corner. You're as easy to get into Lehigh, that first or second exit, as if you live down in Orem, where you're a lot easier to get there than if you're in Draper or Sandy. Mm-hmm. So to me, Harriman is ideally located to take advantage of the Silicon Slope wave in North Utah County. So we count on probably immigrants from that area living here and living in Harriman. So I think it's going to do that population. You know, that's there, and I think it would be highly attractive for those that have an environmental or a solar, you know, event. And so, you know, tell me who my competition is in Harriman. It's gone all solar, all electric. Do I have any yet? Okay. So I'm counting on the fact that most people build very generic apartments. We're going to build something unique that attracts a customer that has that discretion. And the solar is roughly the tax credit, 70% paid for through the credits. So it's not all that oppressive to add that to it because you get the federal credit, the state credit, the depreciation. You can put solar up there fairly expensively relative to what most people think it is. The credits are so heavy. The government is over subsidizing solar.
Yeah.
That, right? Yeah. Okay. I know that.
What's the unit mix? Studios, one bedroom, two bedroom?
We actually are putting a few more three bedroom in the usual, so it's a little heavier on threes than we've done before. There is kind of a really interesting that there's a shortage of larger studios, you know, where you've got studio ones. Believe it or not, there's actually a shortage of that. Now, I think in Harriman, they've been building a lot in the two, one, three mix, where they're like 50% three, 50% two, or maybe 35% one. Does that sound about the mix? I mean, that's sure. Kind of, we'll probably have a little more three. Is that right? Yeah. We'll have the threes. We just think it'll attract people to pick an apartment living as a bigger lifestyle choice, as opposed to it's camping until you get home. Mm-hmm. This is a place I can live. And a lot of people would like the freedom to travel and go and not have a residential home.
Now, with that being said, I didn't see in the connectivity outside of this development to the surrounding things that are going to be located. What's the idea of that?
Yeah, because it really does connect. And there's a lot of residential around us. As you know, how many residential homes are around us, Johnny? Like right here, this will be how many residents, right?
260 there.
So this is 260 homes right here. How many homes are right here?
Those, you got roughly 450 around homes. This area, single family residents.
So you got 260 here, 600 that we've sold to who are the various builders?
D.R. Horton, Alpine Homes, and Richmond.
So those three have all bought land in there. And who's this one was talking?
DAI.
Remember, that's our old nemesis that got me into here. I let them on a note late fall time. I ended up being a landholder.
There you go.
I said, Johnny, you'll be around.
Well, we appreciate them then.
They're good guys. They just got trouble.
Okay.
But this is right into the academy, and the high school is right here. So that main road, you turn down to the academy and turn up here. This will be a flatter road to come into it. This has got a little slope to it, 6% slope.
Because I'm sort of wondering the connectivity, if there's walking or trails that go down, because I think there was going to be a trail back behind Real Salt Lake down almost by Bluff Dam, things like that. If there's going to be some connectivity more that way.
Go to here, then walk down to the trail. So right here would put you right to the canal. So you go here, cross the road, and then along the sidewalk, then you go down that west property line. So, and I'd like to see that.
Yeah, that's more
what when you approve the Sorensen development on that site, it'd be really nice to have right on the top of the wall that we're building here. That's the pathway down. We hope people will come into our drainage basin. I told Sorensen, we ought to build a biology place that kids can walk down there, there's different trees and fauna. Kind of make that not just a hole in the ground, but really nature walking there. Kids can climb
nice.
Up and cool. trees. So I'm kind of planning on over one. And then you've got right along the canal, which is now your huge area. Probably part of your path system, you finish your path system, isn't it? That's my fault. It's the Christmas range in 3 years ago. I paid $275 for it, and I'm going to get one later. Just as long as I get a dollar from the dollar.
It doesn't cost that much to get those rings anymore.
Every year I use it, the price per year goes down.
Exactly. Exactly.
Somebody values economics. But you ready to list all your questions?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I really appreciate the chance. We're always open. So, I mean, I'd like you to think that, you know, this is an open two-way street. We have an idea that it's your city. I've always believed that. I'd want you to catch the vision that we really do want to be innovative. We're not building anything that's just for economic gain. We'll probably, all my partners know that they have to drive along with me. You know, I've got 40% of the equity in this, so I'm telling you, this may not be our most sturdy economic return, but it'll be something we're really proud of. So I'd like you to think when you're through with this, that when you come into Harriman and you describe the housing and the beauty, this is going to be one place you're going to want to take people. That's at least all I want to think of. And I don't think it's anything in our mind that's cheaper or a cheaper siding product or anything that's less beautiful. We think that the eclectic mix properties together will create something unique. So if we look like everything else, I think, if it looks like something that's better, but we do want substantial, and that's what you're feeling, block or brick. It's not just 100% stuff, but that looks horrible, and it looks cheap, and it does look like anybody put any thought into it. We've all seen those projects, and cities can't wait for them to get tore down. But anything we get closer to, we'll have to do that. We cannot have material tests. All the color panels and put up. We'll test all of that long before we put it up, and if someone would like to be part of it, you instruct us to do that. We'd love to have you come do it. So involve yourself as deep as you want in this. We'd love to come back once we have the full electrical program figured out, here's how the panels will work, the heat, cooling, and all of that. We'd love to come go through the instructive thing, but we're right in the middle of 60% of the way through the bedding, I think. So
what's your phasing for the...
It's 340 units, his first bedding is 260 a second. So is this the phasing line right here?
Yep.
Where does it turn?
And then it goes right. Yep.
Right out of there. Yeah. So it was kind of how we had to get the grading done. We probably are going to go put all the roads in though. You know, we think while we're doing it, aren't you?
Yeah.
So we're going to invest $7 million in roads and infrastructure, just get them all in. And then the fire department will absolutely love us.
Yes.
They will think, how did this developer ever come into our community and have all the fire, roads,
all your
doors? Well, they'll love you for that. They're going to be scared to death of the battery solar
panels. That's right. They might overheat. You know, let's hope it's not like in your phone that blows up.
Yes.
That is a very good thought. I mean, if we raised that before, what we're going to do is put a fire extinguisher right next to the battery.
Well, just for fun, after you get this built, I'll drive my 2003 Dodge Dually diesel truck through there and see if it all works.
I'm still repenting of all the diesel I burned too. So this is my repentance project.
We did have a lighting commission next week, the conditional use for the sidings. And again, at this point, we can look at approving it, and then, you know, then certainly come back with the amount. amenity detail.
We'll definitely take anything you want us to check in with. I mean, this should give you a big picture. We are pretty firm in where we're going. We've designed units we believe in. We've now worked the clubhouse to a level we've been working on that. It will be an amazing community center that serves more needs right at the site. And again, why? We don't want you to have to drive so much for simple things. You know, getting packages, getting dropping off laundry. Let's have one guy come pick up 40 people's laundry that you have to drive to the laundry. And so the Red Hanger wants to do it for us. So another place right there. We have a food group that will come in and have a real simple. We can pick up, you know, basics. We're not going to replace Smiths or any of them, but you can come in. Kids can ride their bikes down and get a ice cream and get a thing. I mean, I want the old neighborhood. When I was a kid, I could go to the simple market and be a kid. And I could go to the playground across the street. I could go to soccer. I could go to a drink. I could move in my neighborhood. So a big part of this is we don't want kids to have to get in a car and be packed somewhere. You know, they could actually live here. You know, they can play here. And so I'm looking for as much amenity play between these where there's play areas where kids can go out, throw a baseball, do things. So we're going to work really hard as we do all of this to create the optimal places to just recreate, you know, within the community. Sound good? Thank you.
Thank you.
We got three of them. No, and I just end this. We're grateful for the relationship we have with Harriman. We think, you know, as we do the retail, we've really bought into it that this is the future. I've got now two of my stepkids live out here. My other just moved to Daybreak. So all of a sudden, I watched my kids migrate from the east side of the valley to the west side. All of the, when I talk to the coaches, the trainers, you know, there's a migration here that this is, my kids moved from the east side because the population is older. They were in Cottonwood. And they wanted to be out here because it's more young families, it fits their kids, the schools are more family friendly. This is a place where young families want to be. And it's been interesting to watch my own kids make those choices. Now, I do this because I have a pinched nerve between my 6th and 7th. And after I stand here so long, all of a sudden the shoulder wants to drop. So this is how I relieve that. Most people just think I'm very casual, but that has nothing to do with this. Thank you.
Thank you.
So this will be now, if I stop and get a dollar McDonald's burger and my phone rings $2.75, I've saved enough to pay the bills. So. I'm okay. I would feel like I'm stealing from the public trough.
Thanks, guys. If the city council wants to give any direction to the planning commission, but we want to make sure that all of you saw this because we didn't take the city council and the planning commission last year to look at the project that they had in building. And some of you did a lot of these people. So we just wanted to kind of give you a flavor of the case of what was coming on. So if this starts coming through,
the meets ordinance is
you're comfortable with what's going on.
That's nice.
Anyway, if you have these good self.
It's on my wish next week.
He's got a lot of good stuff.
The only comment I had on this one was, or on 1.4, is that we make sure we relay how this is changing to developers and everything else, because I don't want them to get frustrated thinking that it's taking longer when it should in actuality.
All the ones we talked to.
Shorten the process.
This is pretty common in every other city.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, actually I think they like it.
As well as if.
None of them have been surprised or caught by it. Okay.
As well as if there are substantial changes, there still are understanding that that can happen. It can happen, right?
Yes.
If a road is in the wrong spot, I know you can, and as an engineer, look at that and it fits the criteria. But if it's a look or feel that the Planning Commission can change, then you understand that still can be changed.
They're not
past the point where it's, hey, well, you're at where you're at.
Right. Yeah, the reason what he's saying is don't spend more money this time on engineering and then have to redo it. So there's higher risk of loss for them because the Planning Commission has the complete control of the road going here versus here, this way or that way. But and this is part of our teamwork effort, is we just keep knowing the mind and we know the Planning Commission, the City Council. We'll get it right more often.
I just want to make sure they understand.
Well, the new ordinance and the new standards are perfect, then hopefully that doesn't happen either, right?
Well, one way we can address that, though, is that if they would rather have a conceptual meeting with the Planning Commission,
right. Bring to you
and that's fine.
And introduce that. And that would totally be wouldn't be required, it would be an option.
If we start to see something that does have some flexibility and variability to that, probably trigger us to come
talk. Some of the projects that I think we're kind of focusing here on a really big project for roads and stuff. We got the little 1 lot, 2 lot, 3 lot thing. I think a little more work up front will save us a lot.
You guys know how those can be.
They sometimes go through 8 years because
they've
got somebody that doesn't.
We're not trying to hire an engineer up front.
Well, they're just doing a napkin sketch.
Right.
So this should, I hope this helps.
Well, one of the major things we've been working on for a long time, the ordinance and the standards and everything, is process.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a huge amount of benefit in having a very well laid out, thought out, and easy to follow process. For them, for the city, for us in our respective positions, and for the public. To all know what that process is and that every step of that process is followed every single time. Those issues that come up.
To me, being consistent is
I don't think I can afford it.
I'll stay at my lonely single family dwelling.
Who's driving my diesel truck?
Yeah, this diesel truck's got to go, so.
He'll be banned.
He's carrying a left. Prius won't blow my trailer.
Previous introductions, maybe since we've got many people here, make sure everybody knows who's ready is.
Okay, yeah. Jessica Morton, chair. Sorry I was late. My mind is not here today.
Public floggings after the meeting.
I even read it at 5:30, but I had my head sick.
Laura Palmer, friend, alternate planning commission. Andy Powell, planning commission.
Jackson Ferguson, alternate planning commission.
Brody Ripien, planning commission.
And Mike Malloy, city planner.
Brett Wood, city manager.
Andrea Bradford,
Chris Berbert, planning commission.
Adam Jacobson, planning commission. Clint Smith, city council.
David Watts.
Greg Evans, planner.
Blake Thomas, engineering. I almost said planning. Engineering.
Gordon Yates,
Wendy Thomas, director of Parks, Recreation, and Events. Jackie Malcolm, city reporter. Tammy Woody, director of administration communications, and I handle government affairs.
Jonathan Bowers, engineering.
I think we need to find more responsibilities to give to Tammy and Wendy so they can lengthen their
time. The new planning commissioners. Andy.
Yes, sir.
Lauren. Before you go leave, just let me have a moment with you about your access and stuff.
I think it'd be helpful if we can really quick have the four new ones actually just give a little bit of background for those. I got to be able to sit down and interview, but lots of them don't know, I guess, the background and really why you want to be sitting here.
Let me start.
Sure.
Yeah. Again, Lauren Palmer. I got involved with the referendum a few months ago. That really just, besides learning a lot about the process, that just really, I really enjoyed the process. Really enjoyed learning about how things happen on the. So, you know, but I tell everybody I'm not the one to kind of make, you know, raise a stink and then not be involved, you know, and try to, you know, also be involved. So that's where I am, like, be involved and continue to serve.
Again, Andy Powell. My background is engineering, so good luck. I'm a civil engineer. I do transportation work for a company called AECOM. Primarily, I manage the local office for transportation, business development. Manage staff as well. So just enjoy engineering, enjoy living in Harriman. Been here since 04, so it's been a while. So been a great place to live, raise my family. Family's getting older and looking for opportunities to just get back to the community. So look forward to the opportunity to serve your part.
Jackson Ferguson, I'm an architect, principal at FFKR Architects here in town. I've lived out here in this area since 98, before Harriman Incorporated. So I was in the old Foothills area, if you know where that's at. So Riverman, I guess. I've always considered it Harriman. I always hated seeing my dollars getting sucked into a road to nowhere out in Riverman. But I've always wanted to serve. I've been very blessed, and so I'm excited to jump in and have an opportunity to spend some time helping out.
Awesome. My name is Brody Ripien. I moved to Harriman like 2 years ago. Just love the area. Have four kids. I work for Academy Mortgage, doing mortgage stuff, but I have a degree in real estate development and urban planning. So I thought, hey, I need to put that to use. So this is a good opportunity to just use what I've learned. Really make it a good place to live for a long time. That's my main objective.
I thought you were going to say the pay.
We get paid.
No, I didn't know when I started.
I thought it was volunteering. So.
I did too when I started.
You guys all have your first meeting next week. We'll get your packet tonight during morning. So.
Which means you don't get paid.
I fill out paperwork for these.
Go get a sandwich.
Jackson, I'm gonna sign up.
Okay.
Oh. If you don't sign up, it pays.
The shorter the lead, the more dollars per hour.
So don't talk a lot.
No. Just don't count all the time you're reading everything before that.
Some of the process I want to point out is remembering this whole entire process we're doing and working on. We have a lot of development agreements that don't necessarily have to follow this process.
Since we have new people on the Planning Commission, will you send those to us? So we can. I hate it. I hate the idea of getting it, but yes. Because they don't abide by the same rules.
Right. Now, we've talked to a lot of them, and they're willing to work, you know.
As closely as.
Yeah, and they'll do what they
can. But it's frustrating.
It will be frustrating for you guys, and yeah, you don't want to know. We'll do our best, but yes. Oh. Just know there will be difference.
Like the one we just did.
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yep. Their proposal is more like kind of the old way. Well, there's a lot of information that we typically would have under the new ordinance.
When were they originally approved?
South Hills and Kaiser were in 08.
So this is things that city councils from years past, before any of us really had any sort of a say put into place, which we honor the commitments the city makes, and so we're going to continue to go through them, but moving forward, we obviously have a vision we want to work with, and the more that those developers want to work with us, the better off everyone will be. That's my 2 cents.
Okay. All right. And we already said 1.3 was going to be
useful. Yep.
Okay, good. Yep. Thanks, guys. All right. Any new items?
I have one thing to bring up. I was listening to City Council yesterday, and a question was asked about, I think it was in regards to why the City Planning Commission was recommending some of those zones not being commercial or being smaller, at least for me, because I don't think it was answered according to how I answered it in our meeting. Was it was more along the lines of the study that was given us that we can't handle that much commercial, that we don't have in the feasibility study that it's not feasible to have that much commercial in Harriman. And so we were looking at areas that did not make as much sense. So just wanted to share that.
Thank you for that clarification. That's
helpful. Yeah, I don't think we were
saying it should be, at least I was saying it should be tied to the overall evaluated with UV. Not necessarily decide right now, postpone until you do the full.
Yeah, because if I remember,
on those with, extra sections.
With that and the other stuff that's already zoned commercially, we're 20 to 25% higher than what the feasibility study says is sustainable, even in Harriman. So that was just something to think about. So, because I know it's out of our hands now, but I wanted to make sure I shared that tonight.
We appreciate the clarification.
All right, future meetings, Planning Commission next Thursday, the 5th at 7 p.m., and then City Council Wednesday, April 11th at 7 p.m.
There's a lot of changes due to all of the travel on behalf of the city for the members of the council. We've made a lot of adjustments that have been all needed for the process. So there'll be a lot of meetings that are shifted to the day before board meetings normally are held. So just be aware that it's going to be a little off for the next couple of months until we have budgets.
When is our next meeting like this?
That's a great question. And I don't know the answer, so we will find
that's
out.
Fine.
There was.
It's probably a month or two off, or a couple. But.
Yeah. It was May.
Yeah, it's May, which.
It would have been the 31st, but that's just heading into it's heading into a holiday weekend.
It's
coming off of a holiday weekend.
It's coming off of a holiday, that's true. It's coming off. So we'll look at it a little closer.
Oh, you're right.
That's fine.
You're
tapping my arm so soft. I didn't notice it up there.
Okay.
I was like,
so moved. Second.
All right.
Aye.